This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying tuned. 7:17, Wednesday, the 24th of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run now. In about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to MP for Subang, Wong Chen, on another scandal, the LCS, but also getting his first-hand reactions towards yesterday's sentence. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting is after more than 4 years of being on trial for misappropriating funds from SRC International and losing his final appeal against his conviction yesterday, former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak was seen departing the High Court to begin his 12-year sentence. And the decision was clearly a historical moment for Malaysian politics as the country will witness for the first time a former Prime Minister being sent to prison.
"I'm sorry" were his last words when he met his supporters at the rear entrance of the Palace of Justice. So the 69-year-old was taken away from the federal court in what looked like, in what was a black SUV. It is understood that he arrived at the Kajang prison at about 6 p.m. yesterday evening. But is this the end of Najib and his political legacy, or will he still hold sway over UMNO from inside prison? What about the party's future? What of his close associates like Dato' Sri Ahmad Zaid Hamidi and others who are also facing various court cases?
For some thoughts, we have on the line with us Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Good morning, James. Now, how does the outcome of this trial impact Najib's political future? Does he have one?
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me. So in terms of Najib's political career, of course, in the short term, he has no political career. Under Malaysian laws, he will shortly lose his seat as an MP, and he can't stand for election in for the next 5 years. But of course, there is a way around this, and that way is that he can file for a review of the verdict yesterday. Plus, of course, he can appeal for royal pardon. If he's successful in both these endeavours, then obviously he'll get his political career back. But in terms of the party itself, I think what will happen is that a lot of people say that UMNO will lose from the verdict. But I take a different view. I think in some ways, UMNO will win from the verdict in the sense that they can go around and tell everybody that you can trust them to look after the institutions if they get into power after GE15. They're trying to promote this idea of political stability, and they're trying to tell people their reform. Now, while this message is not believable among the urban people, I can tell you that among the rural voters, this message has gone down quite well. So I suspect it is not a clear black and white thing. I think in the urban areas, there's a lot of joy among ordinary Malaysians that the ex-prime minister is going to jail. But the irony, of course, is that he's going to jail not for one MDB, but for SRC. People think it's for one MDB, but it's actually not for one MDB.
James, you were saying that one of the strategies his supporters will look for is to say that UMNO has been looking after the institutions. I don't understand what you mean by that. I mean, wasn't it UMNO that actually muddied the lines between, you know, the legislative, executive and the judiciary?
No, I'm saying that UMNO will lay the line that in the last few years when he was in the opposition, it has reformed itself. So therefore, you can trust UMNO, you know, when they come back into power again after GE15, they will make sure that the institutions are independent. And to prove that they're capable of doing it, they can say that, you know, we didn't interfere in this process regarding Najib.
So then what happens to the rest of the court cluster who are facing charges, in particular Datuk Sri Zahid and co? Are they going to distance
assuming
themselves?
That there's no interference, assuming that there's no political interference, the trial will go on. In Zahid's case, one of his trial will definitely end by the end of this year. So I think a lot of them will be very, very worried from now on. But I think within the UMNO, within the wider UMNO circles, I think the calculations has not changed. They need to go for general elections this year because there's too many problems coming up next year. And they can draw a line under the Najib case. So over the next 2 weeks, it'll be very interesting to see what Najib will do, whether he'll apply for royal pardon and whether he'll ask for a review. So everything will be dependent over the next 2 weeks. The other thing that's worth mentioning is that a lot of people argue that the pardon thing is quite straightforward. In fact, it is not quite straightforward. There's always political calculations at play. So it'll be interesting to see what the executive in the government will do now, in particular actions taken by Ismail Sabri and the rest of the government.
Okay, let's talk about the general election. So your hypothesis is that it's going to take place this year, right? What strategy would they then take? What strategy is Ismail Sabri going to adopt, as in distancing himself from the court cluster completely and be his own man?
Well, he's already distanced himself completely from the court cluster. Mm. If you read at what he said in his speeches and in his remarks to reporters, he's always made it very clear he's not going to interfere in the judiciary, and that he believes that those with outstanding cases should not be part of the government.
Yeah, but what I mean is within the UMNO faction itself, not so much about interfering in the judiciary, but he does say, you know, we have to look to the party will make a decision. Is he going to stop saying that? Because really, who's in charge of the party now?
Well, nobody's really in charge of the party. They're broken up into two big factions, but they're in a holding pattern because, as I said earlier, we have not completed the complete chess game because Najib can still go for a royal pardon, plus he can ask for a review of yesterday's verdict. So things are still up in the air. Yesterday was not the end of the chess game.
We've also got Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi facing his own issues. He says that in his Facebook post last night after Najib was sent to prison, he says UMNO struggles are still fresh. What do you think he means by this, and how do you think he's going to use this as ammunition, if you like, for his own ambitions?
I think in the short term, he's in really big trouble. Because I think the signal sent by the courts is that they'll be totally impartial. They don't care who you are, whether you're a senior politician or not. They'll look at the facts of the case. So I think he's in big trouble, especially the case relating to his personal charity. I think the paperwork in that case is quite similar to the paperwork with the SRC case in terms of the money flow. So I think he should be worried. I wouldn't worry too much about the sort of thing that he's been posting on Facebook and social media. Obviously, he has to instill some confidence into his supporters. But I think everyone is in a holding pattern to see what is the next step taken by Najib.
Okay, so James, let's fast forward a few months. General elections have happened. Hypothetically, it's happened. Barisan Nasional wins the most seat. But we know that UMNO's own elections haven't taken place. So who's going to be Prime Minister number one? And who after that, who's going to run the party?
If Najib doesn't get a royal pardon and he stays in prison,
yes,
then obviously the key person who will come back as a Prime Minister will be Ismail Sabri. I don't have any doubts about it. If Najib and Zahid are not there to pull him down, he will survive the internal struggle in UMNO.
And he will also win the UMNO elections, because currently he's just a vice president, isn't it? So he'll be president.
Yes. But don't forget, the moment that Najib loses his MP status, everything goes out the window. So even if Najib were to stand from prison, Najib will not win anything, UMNO.
James, on Monday, a bunch of UMNO divisional leaders were called to the UMNO headquarters for a meeting. And I don't know, do we read anything? What do you read into the fact that only about half of them showed up?
What I read is very simple. They knew that the verdict was coming. They knew that it doesn't look good for Najib. And I think they were discussing basically the issue of the GE and the candidate selection list. I think a lot of people in UMNO saw this coming. That's why there was a lot of outbursts. They were really unhappy about this. Because as you know, right, before the verdict, right, there was a lot of chattering, especially among the middle class in Kuala Lumpur, that, you know, the most probable option was a postponement of the verdict. But that didn't happen. So I think a lot of people were quite happy with the verdict. But I think among the UMNO people, I think they were shocked that there was no postponement.
You know, blood always draws sharks. Do you see sharks coming for them, like from within the party or from the opposition?
I think Ismail Sabri's position has been strengthened by yesterday's verdict. But I think among the warlocks, I think they're still waiting, wait and see. As I mentioned, yesterday was not the final move in a chess game. So everyone's waiting. There's also a lot of rumours about the royal pardon thing. But people keep forgetting that in terms of royal pardon, the Prime Minister is involved indirectly as well. So it'll be interesting to see what chess moves that Ismail Sabri will make.
I'm also curious whether you think that this is the end of the Razak family political dynasty, although there's talk of Najib's oldest son, Nizar, running in Pekan.
No, it is not the end of the Razak family. Unfortunately, in this part of the world, bloodlines are still very important. And the best example of that is Bongbong Marcos, who came back into power, even though it's quite clear that the father was involved in massive looting of the Philippines.
And just very quickly, James, this doesn't change the likelihood that GE15 is BN's election to lose, right?
At the present moment, yes, it is still BN. My take is that they still have the best machinery. They still got quite a compelling narrative. And I wouldn't take too seriously the noise coming out, because the people who decide the outcome of the government in Malaysia is in rural Malaya, Sabah and Sarawak, and they have very different calculations.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Up next, we will be talking about the six-month anniversary of the war in Ukraine. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin with the charge d'affaires from the embassy. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.